Father, we come before you this afternoon, Lord God, as we stand before you, God, to ask you that you teach each one of us individually, Lord God, as we, Father, pour ourselves into your presence, Lord. And Father, we pray that the cross of Jesus Christ would continue to teach us to die to ourselves, Lord. And Father, we thank you for all the pastors that are here, their wives. And we ask you that, Lord, that when we leave here, in a couple of days, Father, that it would be different. That as we came here with maybe burdens, Father, or whatever the situation problem may be, Lord God, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us, Father, convict us, and that we would look to you as the author and the great finisher of our great faith, Lord God. Lord, especially in these days we're living in, God, we ask you for the church to be real salt and real light, Lord. And so we ask these things now in Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. I'm going to deal with verses 1 through 7 this afternoon. You know, when you think about John in writing this gospel, and then you see not only by the Holy Spirit bringing chapter 3, and he talks about the new birth, the title of my message will be A Reminder to the Church. Now you say, well, why would that be a reminder to the church? Well, in the days that we are living today, there needs to be a real check within each one of us individually as leaders. Because what we see outside of the church and what's happened in the church, there seems to be no difference today. You know, here John, not really John, but Jesus gives us the requirements to becoming born again of the Holy Spirit. It comes through the new birth, which each one of us, you know, proclaim that we've had a new birth. And let's read the story. Let's read here the words of Jesus, beginning with verse 1. He says, there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter, nor he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus again answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now we've all read this, we've all taught from it, and we probably see this every week in our churches. People coming to the Lord, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, repenting and being born again of the Holy Spirit. But here Jesus, the way he spoke to my heart as I was preparing this lesson, is that the only way that, as you look at the church, okay, as you look at the church today, why has the church become like the world? If we say that we have been born again of the Holy Spirit in the power of God, do we really believe in the power of God that we had one time when we repented and came to Christ? I mean, I can remember when I came to Christ, not only was I messed up and I needed Christ in my life and, you know, thinking that, you know, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? My wife leaves me and my kids. And so Satan comes along and he begins to deal with our lives. And once we come to Christ, you know, our life gets turned around and we're supposed to have a new nature, which means people that know us, they know something happened. But today, there's something different. Something different, not with the world, but with the church. I believe that God uses ordinary people just like us. But when God uses ordinary people, it's important that we understand that it's not us that have been touched, it's God been touching our lives. And being born again of the Holy Spirit, there's a new nature The Holy Spirit has touched my life, has touched my heart, has touched me completely and fully, so that when people hear me speak, or they hear me, you know, I meet with them, I'm living with them, whatever I'm doing fellowship with them, I'm not going to be that person that I used to be, but they see a transformation. That's one of the things that brought a lot of the police guys that I knew when I was in the world to Christ. They came to our church. And our friends, my friends that knew me for so many years, you know, we have over 30-some friends that have come to know Christ in the last 30 years. What are people saying about you when you say that you've been born again of the Holy Spirit? You see, the Bible says that he doesn't use perfect people. But get this, he uses redeemed people. Not perfect people, but redeemed people. 1 Peter 1:18, 19 says, knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver, gold, from an aimless conduct received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me, washed me from all the filth that I had in my life. Secondly, he uses people who have come into a personal knowledge through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the steps that he brings about in the Word of God. Thirdly, he uses people who have repented of their sins and have experienced the power of repentance. The power of repentance in my life. Which means if I've experienced the power of the repentance, surely I don't want to take a step backwards. I want to take a step forward and keep going forward. Especially if I'm a pastor or a leader. God's made me responsible of these people that are coming to the church or a Bible study, whatever it is. And if I'm really responsible for these people, then God expects me to live a life that is going to please him, and I cannot preach that sermon unless I have preached to myself first. That's really important. Preaching to myself, examining my life before God. Because also, not only does he use people who have repented of their sins, but experience the power of God in my life. The power of God in my life. Jeremiah 31:19 says, surely after turning, I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I says, I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. We all remember our youth. We all remember where we came from. And if we remember, then why can't we live now by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit? Fourthly, he uses people who have received a brand new life. 2 Corinthians, remember 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with Christ through the baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. In the newness of life. Then why is it the pastors are drinking? Why is it that pastors are living, you know, in the churches, are laying and having relationships sexually with other women? Abusing their wives. Drugs. Alcohol in the ministry. When here Jesus is speaking about a new birth, and you'll see in a moment when Nicodemus came. Nicodemus was a religious person. He had religion, but listen, he didn't have a relationship. Do you have a relationship with God? When you have a relationship with God, things are different. Things are very different. You know why? Because I love him, but he loves me more than I love him. That's what's so cool about God. God uses, fifthly, a people that have a new mind, new thinking. Ephesians 4:23, 24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice, which was created. You see, this is one of the amazing things about God. When he takes you, when he takes my private life, and he changes my life supernaturally. Supernaturally. It's not by religion, it's by the relationship God has given to me. A.W. Tozer says this about the new birth. He says, if we believe the New Testament, we must surely believe that the new birth is a major miracle of God, as was the first creation. For the new birth is actually the creating of another man in the heart where another man had been. We had been, but now we're in this place. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. That's what the church today is lacking, holiness unto the Lord. You see, when the church changes, then the world will change. I talk to a lot of non-believers. I know a lot of non-believers because of the martial arts, and I'm a chaplain. I do all these things. I go surf in San Clemente, and I meet all these surf guys. And before, they wouldn't talk to me because religion, other people that call themselves Christians, were bad witnesses. And I've never preached to any of them. They watch your life. They watch my life for 12 years now. And it's not that I'm better than them, I'm better than you, but hey, where's your relationship with Christ? Have you truly been born again of the Holy Spirit? And the world will say, when the church changes, then I will change. I believe that the church today is no longer salt or light. Honestly. The church has become a place of entertainment. The church has become a place of unholiness instead of holiness. You see, it was a miracle that God did concerning Nicodemus. He was a Jewish rabbi. He was rich. And somehow, when he heard about Jesus, that he was going around preaching, he came by night and he asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? I mean, that's a good question. Which means that when he came, he was sick and tired of religion. Religion never fulfilled his life. That's why the world needs Christ. They're tired of religion. But when they come to some of his churches, you know, when they look at the pastor, they look at the leadership of that church, and there's more entertainment than teaching of God's word, and there's no conviction from the teaching and preaching, maybe I would doubt if the Holy Spirit is there. Maybe I would doubt that. Because there has to be power. And that power comes through submission of my life, dying to myself, realizing, man, that I'm trash and I am nothing, but God is everything. And God can use my life. God can use donkeys, man. He can use your life. That's right. We're all donkeys. John 16:8-11 says, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world already is judged. Think about that. The Holy Spirit came to convict. And why isn't the church convicted? Are we doing this? Are we doing this? I mean, what's happened to the Holy Spirit? I can remember when I got saved, man, a long time ago, 41 years ago, that the Holy Spirit, not in the church, in my home, I was convicted as I watched Pastor Chuck preaching. I was convicted. Convicted because the Holy Spirit was the one that convicted me. Not my wife, not my in-laws, nobody else, but Jesus was the one. The Holy Spirit came and began to show me that I was a bad person, I was a sinner, and I needed Christ in my life. And this is why Jesus said in verse 3 and 5, he says, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, pay attention, he says, assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, verse 5, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You won't see it and you won't enter to the kingdom of God. Don't abuse God's grace. Unmerited favor given to each one of us individually. I believe with all my heart that the church has become like the world. No power to reach the world. I mean, when you study the book of Acts and you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, 120 people were saved. Okay, they were there saved and the Holy Spirit came baptize them. But once they were baptized and they waited, remember what happened in chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, I mean, there's over 3,000 people saved, the first altar call. And the Holy Spirit baptizing. I mean, when is the last time that you see someone in your church get saved? Really saved. By the Holy Spirit. Is that fruit lasting in your church, which is his church? You know, maybe as pastors and leaders, we need, first of all, that every Sunday morning we need to check our hearts before God. Have we studied? Have we prayed? Are we reckoning the old man to be dead as we're living a life throughout the week? Am I in my computer and I'm going to those websites that are destroying my marriage and destroying my life and then get up and preach about God's holiness? You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And you're damaging your marriage and your children. They'll walk away from God one day and you'll be responsible. The word birth here involves life, spiritual birth. From above involves God's life. John uses the word life 36 times in his gospel. 36 times. You see, if you want God to really use your life, then you're going to have to make sure you have repented. You have a change of heart attitude and you've made a 180 degree turn as a senior pastor, as leaders, whatever it is, because if your life is not in repentance, then you're going to live just like the world. Just like the world. And then I think over the years, you know, with Pastor Chuck traveling with him all the time and hearing of things. One time I was with Chuck Smith and we were somewhere across the country and I was in my hotel room and then I was sitting there, not watching TV, I was reading my Bible and I was sitting in the bed leaning against the wall. And I didn't want to hear what was going on next door, okay? I mean, I did not want to know. But what was going on, one of the pastors that traveled with us was talking to his girlfriend. And God allowed me to hear that. I thought I was hearing things. I wasn't. I told Chuck. I said, Chuck, this is what's going on. So they brought the pastor in. He denied it. And I went face to face. I said, you're a liar. I heard you and God heard you. And I wonder how many of us here today, you know, we're in that position where everybody believes us. Everybody looks at your life, but you have no integrity. No integrity before God. Nicodemus was hungry when he came to Jesus. Jesus laid the cards on the table and said, this is the way it is. There is no other way. No other way to do that. A W. Tozer on regeneration says, quote, in the Bible, the offer of forgiveness on the part of God is conditioned upon intention to reform on the part of men. There can be no spiritual regeneration until there has been a moral regeneration. Morality. Look at the world today. Are we truly fearful of God? Do we really fear God? And I'm not saying shaking in your boots, man. Do you fear God? Do you reverence God? Has God spoken to you? Or are you copying people's messages? Going on internet, you know, the internet has so many sermons now. They have websites that you can copy. But when is the last time that you sat down, you waited upon God and read and prayed and got on your face before God and he gave you this powerful sermon, for today, not for yesterday or the day past. Is the message convicting, first of all, to you? So that I'll be convicting to the people. Look in the mirror and don't forget who that is in the mirror. That's us. I think it's of importance that we get the gospel the way it was given to us by Jesus Christ. He said, unless you're born again of the Holy Spirit, you'll never see and you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, where verse 22, he says, many will come and say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did miracles and wonders in your name. And Jesus will say, even though you knew me, I never knew you. Depart from me, evil servant of iniquity. One of the owners of television, remember? Christian television? He was a homosexual seducing his own driver. Oh, yeah. And was reaching billions and millions of people. You see, it's not because of you, it's because of him that people get reached. One day you and I will sit down and be judged by God. We'll have to give an answer. And surely I want power in my life, like Jesus gave to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus, once he got it, you know, he not only received the Lord, even though he was impressively, as we don't see him all the time in the Bible, yet Nicodemus had that experience by faith. He listened to Jesus. Except a man be born again, he will never enter or see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. How many people am I or you or anybody here keeping out of the kingdom of God? And by the way, when is the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Are you living a sheltered life? Or are you in the world? But we're not of the world, so that people can see our lives, not by preaching to them, but living the life of Christ, so that the Holy Spirit can convict people. Nicodemus became convicted because of Jesus, John the Baptist, the disciples. Imagine that. They were following Jesus, even though they did not understand everything, and one was a traitor. Jesus, in his love and his grace and mercy, protected them. And the others went to die horrible deaths, and then Judas hung himself. He was an apostate. I wonder if we have pastors today that are apostates. Judas walked with Jesus. He was taught by Jesus, but he was taking the offerings. Are you taking the offerings too? It's not your money, it's God's money. Do you use it for your own expenses, for your own glory? Or do you really respect God and you have the fear of God? The fear of God in our hearts. Because that's what happens when you're born again of the Holy Spirit. You come to that place in your life where you come to it, and now the Holy Spirit, when I'm going to do something wrong, we have a will. And the will that I have, I can say yes and I can say no. God doesn't treat me like a puppet on strings. Before we ever sin, the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and say, okay, you can go to the darkness or you can be in the light. You can obey or you can disobey. But remember this, when you step out to do what you want to do, there's a consequence to be paid. You're going to reap. Because you're sowing to your flesh. Sowing to your flesh. There's three great essentials given to us concerning the Bible about being true Christians. To be a true believer in Jesus Christ, it is produced by the Holy Spirit when there's truly born-again experience. Again, we said John chapter 3, 5 through 8. Titus 3, 5 says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, he says, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When I'm truly born again of the Holy Spirit, there's a producing in my life by the word of God. The Word of God is producing in my life love. There's conviction. There's repentance. There is growth in my life. James 1:18 says, of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever through the word of God. As we read, as we pray, the word of God convicts my life. Said, I'm not the same person. My children watch me. The employers watch me, or the employees watch me. When I go to the gym, when I go anywhere, people are watching my life, especially when I say I am a Christian. And if we're not Christians, we should say, I'm religious. I'm religious. And then it's produced by faith. 1 John 1:5, 1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, who begot, also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Let me ask you a question. What are the results of becoming born again of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you six things the Bible speaks about. Number one, it is the result, again, of becoming a new creation. New creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we already read it. How about secondly, it is the result, check this out, of a crucified life. A crucified life. When there is a crucified life, it hurts. It hurts because it reminds me of Christ, the pain that He went through. Paul, Peter, James, John, all these guys. And your God has given us an opportunity, the greatest opportunity of all opportunities. To love Him. To worship Him. And to become like Him. Paul says in Romans 6:4-11 says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified, past tense, with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, died no more, death is no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckoning the old man to be dead. Thirdly, it is the result of practicing sin. 1 John 3:9 says, whoever has been born of God does not practice sin. For sin, says, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. It doesn't mean we're perfect. But we should not continue to sin like the way we sin in the world. Fourthly, it is the result of true righteousness. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. That means by faith. I've never seen God. I'm going to see Him one day. But every step that I take, every step that I've taken by faith. And the reason is because I hate my life. I don't want to be the person I used to be. I want to be like Nicodemus. I want to have a new nature. It is the result of having victory over the world. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, is our faith in Jesus Christ." And then, how can we become fruitful after we're born again of the Holy Spirit? How about number one, it comes to death of self. Death. John 12:24 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it says it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." There's fruit. There's fruit. Secondly, it comes through new life that we talked about in Romans 6:4. And thirdly, it comes through abiding in Christ Jesus. Abiding. Dwelling. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, if it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing." Fourthly, it yields, he says, it comes through yielding to God. As we read, he says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. As your members as instruments of righteousness to God, sin shall have no longer dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under the grace of God." And then it comes through Christ or through Christian effort. 1 Peter 1, 5-11. "But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours," he says, "these things are yours and abound, you will be what? Neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old life and sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me conclude with this. John Bunyan said, "This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." And then I picked this up, which was pretty cool. Let me do this sideways here so I can see it better. It's called the divine channel of power. He says, "Study universal holiness of life. Your whole usefulness depends on this. For your sermons last only for 1 hour or two, but your life preaches all week long. If Satan can make you a covetous minister, a lover of praise or pleasure, of good eating, he has ruined your ministry. Give yourself to prayer and get your texts, your thoughts, your words from God." Luther spent his best 3 hours in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your grace and love and mercy. Continue to bless, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.